Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And I'm sure many of you are now praying along with me, reciting those very familiar lines, recorded in the Gospels, taught by Jesus, no less. Those words are the start of what's now known as the Lord's Prayer, of course. It's the world's most well-known prayer, uttered by millions of people across the globe, day after day, week after week. But I wonder how many of those millions stop to really ponder what they're praying and what it means for their lives, line by line. Albert Haas is a man who's thought about it a great deal and very deeply. He's the author of Living the Lord's Prayer, The Way of the Disciple. And we thought it'd be great to spend a few weeks with him walking through this great prayer, looking at not just what it means, but how we can make it part of our lives. Albert, welcome to Open House.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Lynn. I wish to goodness I could actually be in the studio with you, because while I was a missionary in mainland China for 11 and a half years, on two occasions I had the wonderful opportunity to go down under and to experience your wonderful hospitality of the people of your country.
One day you should do it again. It's great to have you.
I would love to. Send me the ticket and I'll be there next week.
From our vast Open House resources. I wondered whether we could start our series over the next few weeks of Living the Lord's Prayer with a bit about you first. You're a Catholic theologian, professor of spirituality, and an author.
Right, yeah, and I'm also a Franciscan, which means that I follow the rule of Francis of Assisi that he wrote in the 13th century for the men who would follow in the Roman Catholic tradition according to his lifestyle. I've been a Franciscan for 38 years. I've been a Franciscan priest. I've been a priest for 28 years, and of the 28 years of my priesthood, 11 and a half years of that was spent as a missionary in mainland China.
What was it about the Lord's Prayer that so arrested you that you became an author about it?
Oh, because, you know, we pray it every day, don't we?
Yes.
And the more I spent time praying it and reflecting over it, I happened one day to come upon a quote which really gave me a whole new appreciation for the Lord's Prayer, and it's how the book is actually written. But in the late second century, there was a bishop in North Africa, a guy with the very uncommon name of Tertullian, and Tertullian called the Lord's Prayer a breviarium totius evangelii, a summary of the whole gospel. And when I read that he called it a summary of the whole gospel, that made me take a new look at it. And then I found a quote by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, who said that if you're walking down the street and if somebody asks you to write the teachings of the Christian faith on the back of an envelope, he said the best thing you could do would be to write the words of the Lord's Prayer, because it's not simply a way to pray, it also is a way to live. And when I discovered that quote, and then it was reflecting on the quote by Tertullian, who called it a summary of the whole gospel, it dawned on me that it would be interesting just to take that prayer word for word, verse by verse, take a look at it, see what Jesus says in his life and in his ministry about each word of the Lord's Prayer. And so that gradually gave birth to the book, Living the Lord's Prayer, The Way of the Disciple.
I can well understand why. When we see Jesus presenting it to us, for those not so familiar with the context, set the context for us. How did it emerge in Jesus' life and teaching in the Gospels?
Okay, well, so what according to the Gospel of Luke, which is, well, you know, we have two versions of the Lord's Prayer. We have one found in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's part of the Sermon on the Mount there. And then we have another version of it in the Gospel of Luke. The one that everyone prays is, we all pray the longer version that's found in Matthew. But according to Luke, What happened was, one day a disciple came up to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray.
Yes.
And then surprisingly, Jesus does not respond with a method. He does not respond with a technique. Rather, what he does is he responded with these words that really capture not only the essence of his ministry, but also the essence of his teachings. And I think that's why, you know, Lee, in the early church, interestingly enough, the Lord's Prayer was almost considered like the secret password of the Christian. And that's why Christians, people who were preparing for baptism, they never were given the words of the Lord's Prayer. It was never revealed to them until the day before they were baptized. Once the Christian community knew that they were serious about their commitment to Christ and that they were going to go through with baptism, it was only then that it was then revealed to them, and then they would then promise to pray it three times a day. And that practice of praying it three times a day, in my Roman Catholic tradition, that practice continues because we pray it not only in the daily celebration of the Eucharist, but also we pray in what's called the Liturgy of the Hours, the fixed hour prayers that the ordained people in the Roman Catholic tradition pray. And so at morning prayer and then at evening prayer, we pray it again. And the only reason why we do is to keep that ancient tradition of praying it three times. So what happened was, early on, the early Christian community clearly saw that this was an important prayer. It goes right out of the heart of Jesus, and it really, in so many ways, does express not only his teachings, but it really gives us a way to live. And I think that's what I've tried to do in my book that's published by InterVarsity Press.
I'm interested in that community that you spoke of, that it was held back from them until they were ready to treat the Christian faith seriously, and then they move kind of to the opposite end of the spectrum three times a day. Because right. Would you agree that one of the challenges for us in any instruction and any prayer like this, with its familiarity, is to lose the clout of it with such repetition?
Exactly. I think I think now the great as you began this segment, you know, we can all it's almost part of our DNA as Christians,
yes.
And
yes.
It just rattles right off of our lips, and we do fail to really dig our heels into each and every word. You know, it's interesting because in the 16th century, there was a woman of extraordinary holiness. She's a mystic, a woman by the name of Teresa of Avila. She's a Spaniard. She was a member of the Carmelite order, one of the great mystics of our Christian tradition. And when the nuns asked St. Teresa of Avila how to pray, she without hesitation said, "Oh, sisters," she said, "there's only one way to pray. You pray the Lord's Prayer." And then she said, "But take an hour to pray it."
Wow, yes.
In other words, say it slowly, say it deliberately. And as I wrote the book, I established that practice. I would spend about 20 minutes a day just very slowly going through each word, each phrase deliberately. And I got to be honest with you, Lee, I'm still a sinner, but I have come to a deeper appreciation because I really see now where knowing this prayer can remind anyone of the teachings of Jesus.
Okay, so you say, though, that yes, it's a prayer, yes, it has great significance, but we should take it a step further and that it become our life as well as our prayer.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And that's the angle, that's kind of the uniqueness about my book, Living the Lord's Prayer, The Way of the Disciple, because I show in each chapter, in each verse, how this prayer can be and should be lived out in a practical way. So I root each verse in the life of Jesus and in his ministry and in his teaching, and then I play that out to show how it's lived out, not only in the lives of some of our great ancestors in the faith, but also how it's lived out in ordinary people's lives.
Yes. We're going to spend the next 6 weeks talking through the Lord's Prayer line by line with you, which I'm really looking forward to, both for those with Christian faith and I think also for the spectator to the Christian faith. What do you hope our listeners might get out of this series of conversations over these next 6 weeks?
Oh, listen, if I could just touch one person in Australia to have a deeper appreciation for the Lord's Prayer, if I could just get one Australian to think twice and to pray the prayer deliberately, then I've done my job. Because again, you know, Lee, this prayer really has power. It comes right out of the heart of Jesus, and it gives us an insight, interestingly enough, which is something we fail to forget. It's not often in the Gospels that we get a window into the prayer life of Jesus. We rarely get to see how he prays. We get a little snippet at the raising of Lazarus in John's Gospel. We get a little snippet later on when Jesus expresses surprise that people are not responding to his message. But then we have the Lord's Prayer. And so this Lord's Prayer really gives us an insight and a window into the soul of Jesus. And I think for that reason and that reason alone, it is an extraordinary prayer.
Yes. Albert, I'm sure there's more than one listener around Australia with a clear sense already that this is going to be an enjoyable and certainly lively and a conversation at depth for our good and for our lives. We really look forward to it, and we look forward to talking next week in part two of our series. Albert Haas, thanks very much for joining us on Open House.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.